Welcome to Pioneer Church. We exist to be a gathering of kingdom people with kingdom passions who fulfill Jesus' kingdom purpose. The following message is from our Sunday morning worship gathering. To learn more about Pioneer Church, go online to www.pioneernc.com.
All right. As our children are making their way to Pioneer Kids and we prepare to take up our offering, I want to kind of just direct your attention to your handout. Did everybody get a handout this morning? If you didn't get a handout and you need one, let me know. I'll get you one. Everybody good? Awesome. As I mentioned in our welcome this morning, it's been about 6 to 8 months since we talked about the vision of Pioneer Church. And I'm going to do something to our core people, not for our core people, but to our core people right now, who've been here from day one, who can tell me what the vision of Pioneer Church is? And listen, I prayed really hard that this would not backfire on me today. So who can throw it out there? And if my wife doesn't answer, we're in real big trouble. Who can tell me just, hey, give me the simplified version of Pioneer Church's vision statement? KP3, which is what? Kingdom people with kingdom passion. Fulfilling his kingdom purpose. Amen. Woo. Y'all had me worried for a minute. I was worried about that. And I will say this. Vision is caught more than it's taught. Vision is caught more than it's taught. What that means is I can sit up here and tell you the ins and outs, nuts and bolts of the vision statement of Pioneer Church. But if we never live it, if we don't believe it, if it's not evidenced in the way that we do things here, doesn't matter. It's just words, right? We spend a lot of money on T-shirts and catchy sayings, and it doesn't have any a kingdom benefit, right? But a vision is very important. So let me begin this morning by asking you this question. How many of you think that being able to see is important? I think it's probably one of those things that you would probably take for granted until you can't, right? Last night, I just thought about this. I tried to play Shade Tree Mechanic yesterday and change a water pump on my car. And started about 3 o'clock, 7 bolts in that thing, take the belt off. It ain't no big deal. I'll be done by 4. At 6:30, me and my daddy were still out there trying to figure it out. But we lost a little plug that goes into a valve in the dark. And it's kind of important. You need that thing. And tell you what, you don't panic until you realize that I can't find it, right? Being able to see is important, right? My mom passed on a lot of great traits to me, but one thing she did not pass on to me was good eyesight. I've been in contacts or had glasses since, I don't know, middle school, high school, I think. And here's the thing about it. Like, I have just enough vision to where I can see just well enough to think I don't need glasses. You know what I'm talking about? Like, the first person that told me I needed glasses was the DMV. You don't want the DMV to be the first people to say, you need glasses, buddy. And I remember I played baseball, and I remember I pitched, and I can remember getting a signal from the catcher going, I think that's a 2. I'm not sure. I'm just going to throw whatever I want. And that didn't go well. And it was because I couldn't see very well, right? And it's amazing, like, when you go to the eye doctor, and they put you in that thing, and you flip them up, and it's like a whole new world, isn't it? Like, he goes from, oh, I can't know. Whoa, that's what I've been missing all these years, right? Vision is important. And here's the thing. At times, we may not understand or realize how important it is until we can't see clearly. It's like, you guys ever heard the story of the snake who went to the eye doctor? I don't know if you ever heard this. It's a dad joke, so get ready. So he goes to the eye doctor, and he says, I can't see. I need you to help me. And the doctor said, well, let me fix you up some glasses. So he made him up some glasses. And he said, I want to see you in 2 weeks to make sure that the prescription's right. So he came back in 2 weeks later. And the doctor said, well, how are you doing? He said, man, not too good. He said, oh, so we need to adjust the prescription. He said, I can see great. He said, I put them glasses home, went home, and realized my wife was a garden hose. Been living with a garden hose all my life. Come on, guys. It's better than that, right? My point is this. When we can't see clearly, we begin to kind of accept the reality of not being able to see clearly. And we begin to live in this world that is less than what God intended for us. But man, when we put the vision glasses on, when we're able to see things clearly, it changes our perspective and therefore changes our direction of what we're trying to do and what we're trying to accomplish. And so this morning, I want us to talk about what vision is as we begin this series, Vision Check. You guys understand that the church is a body, right? We talk about that a lot here at Pioneer Church. A church is a body. And so our head is whom? Christ is our head, right? And so we are all individual parts that make up one body. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried to do something like multitask. You guys know what that means? It means you're doing a lot of things not well at all, right? But one arm may go this way and one leg may go this way, right? That doesn't get us anywhere, does it? Vision for a church is the thing that we focus on that allows all these parts of one body to go in the same direction, okay? And so here's the thing. We tend to kind of overcomplicate this whole thing about vision. I have books upon books upon books in my house about finding God's vision for the church. I have wrestled with this. I have cried over this, prayed and fasted over this. But folks, it's not as difficult as we want to make it. You see, we live in a world where we try to make things catchy and innovative and all those words, but Jesus has given us his vision for his church. We just have to figure out what it is and do it. But I want to give us some working definitions this morning to help us kind of wrap our minds at Pioneer Church around what we're trying to do as his church. So let me give you this first one. What is vision? This is kind of my dumbed down definition of it. Vision is a specific calling and direction that God gives a specific body of believers to strive towards together. So vision is a specific calling or direction that God gives a specific body of believers for them to strive towards together. There's a lot of key phrases in that that I want us to try to think about and talk about over the next couple of weeks. Vision is specific, it's intentional, and it is unique for each body of believers. And so, as we talk about moving forward as a church, as we talk about where God is leading us as this church plant, this new body, it's important that we focus on a couple of things. One, who gives us the vision? Who gives us the vision? God does, right? TJ is not the CEO of Pioneer Church, and I just sit up in my Skyrise office somewhere and say, this is what I think we should do. I'm an under-shepherd. I hear from the Father and communicate it to you, and your spirit confirms what I'm saying, right? That's how this whole thing works. But God gives a vision, and he gives it to specific churches. Now, every church, if they are a body of believers under the blood of Jesus, should have a vision. We'll talk about that in just a second. But not everyone does. Not every church does. And just because this church has a specific vision that God gives them doesn't mean the church down the street would necessarily share that vision, okay? And so God gives a specific vision to a specific set of believers, and our task is to fulfill that vision, and here's the key, together. Together. Hey, can I tell you something that I'm sure I know? Some of you in here this morning are going, why in the world we got to talk about this? This really doesn't have anything to do with me and my walk with Jesus. Vision is stuff that's for the professionals. I don't care anything about that. It sounds more like we're trying to be a corporation than a church. I don't get all that. But here's what I do know. Those of us who catch God's vision for Pioneer Church are eagerly going to walk forward in it. But what if you don't catch it? Where does that leave you as the body? You are a vital part of Pioneer Church. You may be an arm. And we may have to go forward in the vision without an arm. And what does that do about our effectiveness as a church? We can't accomplish as much, right? We're handicapped in that. And so we've got to do it together. Now, what that means is that there's grace. There is examples that have to be set. And we're going to talk about all that as we get into the next couple of weeks. But I do want you to understand this. There is a clear distinction between a mission and a vision. You guys understand that, right? The mission of the church has been the same for 2,000 years. What's the mission of the church? Who can tell me? Anybody know? Go make disciples. There are actually two verses that are given to us in the New Testament that tell us what the never-changing mission of the church is. Jesus said, love me, love people, and then go make disciples. That is the mission of the church. If we're about feeding the hungry, if we're about clothing the naked, but we are not about loving Jesus, loving people, and making disciples, we don't have the mission of the church. Okay? The mission never changes. It should be the same for every church. The vision, however, differs based upon the context that God has a specific church in. Vision is how God would have us fulfill the mission that He has for us. It's the specific way He's calling a church to fulfill His mission in the world. Now, why might that be different here as opposed to, say, Zambia, Africa? Somebody tell me. Is it the same Jesus who died on the cross for the people in Zambia as He did in Medellin, Madison, Stokesdale? Yeah. But how do we reach them? How do we get the gospel in front of them in an effective way? How do we live it in front of them? You see, culture defines vision. Context defines vision. And so we've got to understand how God is calling us to fulfill His mission in the place that He set us. And so there is a specificity, and that's a real word. Look it up. There's a specificity with vision. There is an intentionality. There is a uniqueness in our vision. Now, here's the second part that I need you to understand about vision. Vision is very forward-focused. This morning, in our introduction and welcome, I talked about how we don't like change. That's a natural part of life, man. We don't. And there's nothing inherently wrong with not liking change until you see what happens when you do change. I mentioned my little baby, man. He does not like to have his diaper changed. But he is so thankful when it is. You see, vision helps us see, and bear with me on this illustration, helps us see what life is like when the diaper's changed. Vision keeps us focused on what could be and what should be in God's church. And here's the thing, not everybody catches it. Not everybody wants to see it happen. A lot of us are happy where we are. We like familiarity. We like comfort. But here's what I can tell you and what I know is true. Comfortable churches, familiar churches who are unwilling to grasp and accept the vision that God has for them will not make disciples. It won't happen. Because here's why. The disciples are out there, the future disciples, right? The lost people are out there, and they're not used to your familiarity that you've been walking in week after week. When you walk into a church that is comfortable and is infatuated with familiarity, you're walking into something that you've been well acquainted with for a long time. But you will not get those people in there. Vision helps us see the gospel through the lenses of what's next. And that's why we need it. And so here's why I kind of start this morning with that. A lot of us are going to push on it. A lot of us are going to go, I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't understand why we have to have this verbiage. I don't understand why we have to structure ourselves a certain way. I mean, why can't we just come to church, sing some songs, and go home? I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you are going to heaven when you die? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, how many of them out there are going to go to heaven when they die? You see, that's the goal. That's the purpose. It's not for us. It's not about us. It's about a kingdom that is yet to come that Jesus is calling us to go and advance. And so vision keeps our priorities straight. And it keeps us going in a right way. And so here's my objective this morning is just to answer one question today. Why? Why do we need a vision? Why is it so important that we catch what God is calling us to be? You see, when you look at the church in America, you see a decline, right? You see a falling away, not just in numerical growth, but in spiritual literacy. Did you know, they did a study a few years ago, did you know that 53% of churchgoers, regular churchgoers, could not name two of the four Gospels? That's crazy. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They couldn't name two of them. Not the all four, but couldn't name two of them. Some people said that Moses was a disciple. These are people who are in the church. These are people who worship on a regular basis in a body. And so what that tells us is that we may attend, we may go, but the church is declining. We are not connected to this God that we claim to serve. And so we see this huge disconnect between the purpose of the church as a whole and individual believers. Man, we are in a self-centered culture, right? We care more about how things affect us personally than we do as a whole. And so here's what I want to challenge you with. Man, as we go into this series, it's going to be real easy for you to think about, well, how does this affect me? This really doesn't have anything to do with me. And can I just implore you to pray against that? Because we fulfill God's kingdom purposes together. Being a part of a church is about being a part of something that's bigger than you. And that makes a greater impact than you can make on your own. You see, as long as people see the church as just a means to their individual spiritual well-being and not the thing that they're supposed to join themselves to and be a part of, then we're going to come off as weak and ineffective and nobody's going to listen to us. But how many of you believe we have the best message, the most needed message in the world? People need to hear what we've got. But in order for that to happen, we got to look like we got our stuff together. We have to look like we know what we're talking about. We have to live what we say we believe. And so a vision will help that. And I believe that you guys want to be a part of that. I believe that you want to be kingdom people. And so we're going to talk about how we get there. Now, I want to share a couple of logistical reasons with you why we need a vision before I get into the scriptures this morning. And I'm excited about that. Last January, I think it was the first week in February, we gathered in my house with about 20 people in my living room. Some of you in this room were there on that day, and it was crazy, was it not? We had a big old breakfast. I remember that. Man, it was good. We ate good. We still continue that. I like that. That's a good tradition. We should keep that going. But we had a good old breakfast, and we threw some worship songs up on the YouTube, on the TV, and mumbled and bumbled through it. And then I shared what I felt like God was calling us to be. And kids were coming through the ceiling up in the kids' room. We were bumping and going on and carrying on. And I'll never forget, man. I remember that after that first Sunday, I honestly went, Lord, if you don't do this, it ain't going to happen. It's just going to be a bunch of people coming to our house on Sunday. It's going to be very distracting. But a year later, here's where we are. Last week, we had 57 people worship here at Pioneer Church. 41 adults, 16 children. How awesome is that? 57 people came through the doors here to worship. I sat down this week and was kind of looking through some stuff and going back and looking at some records. Did you guys know that we had 16 regular attenders out last week? 16. Sickness and other places. If everyone would have been here who's a regular attender, we would have had 73 people at Pioneer Church last week. 3. Man, that's a far cry from 20 people crammed in a living room, right? And that's in a year. In the last 6 months, we've gone from about 25 to 57. God's doing some really good and gracious things in Pioneer Church. And so here's what I want you to understand. As we grow, as we the numbers grow, we've got to all get in, going in the same direction, right? And let me just say this. I think this is important. We don't talk about attendance because we care that that number grows numerically. I'm not interested in growing a crowd. As a matter of fact, it scares me. Now, before you don't come back next week, let me explain that. I don't care about growing a crowd. You can give stuff away and have great music, which I love what God's doing in our worship, but you can do the stuff to draw a crowd, right? Jesus fed 20,000 people with loaves and fishes, and then he turns around and says, the only reason you're here is because I gave you something to eat, right? You can draw a crowd. I'm not interested in a crowd. What I am interested in is growing people whose heart beats for the kingdom of Jesus. I care greatly about that. But here's why we track attendance. Because the more people who are here, that's the more people that get to hear the gospel of Jesus, who will hopefully go take it out to the world in which we live. And then more people will come to Jesus, who will then go make more disciples. And that's a really good plan of evangelism, isn't it? Somebody came up with that. And his name is Jesus. And he said, if you'll do that, if you'll just evangelize the people who are in your circle, then they'll go do the same thing. If you will make disciples intentionally, that's going to happen. And so we track attendance here because we want to know how many people are wanting to be invested in the kingdom work that we're trying to do. And so God has blessed us and he keeps bringing people. And so we have these goals that we're setting as a church. They're not numerical goals. Somebody asked me the other day, my church planning coach, he said, so when are you going to reach 150? I said, I don't know. Should I care? I don't think that way. My objective for Pioneer Church is to not be 250 by December. My objective for Pioneer Church is to have the people, however many they are, to be on fire for the kingdom by December. And so we're going to move that way, and praise God, he's going to add the people that he wants. And so, with new people, however, comes the need to revisit the vision, right? When I asked you how many of you knew the vision of Pioneer Church, how many of you had never even heard it before? You don't have to raise your hand, but I'm like, I don't know. What does that mean, right? So with God adding people, we need to come back and say, so what is it that he's calling us to do? And so that's one reason we're growing. That's why we need to revisit the vision. But let me give you one more tangible reason why we're going back through this. It's time for us as a church plant to do something called launch. And now here's what that means. It means that we are setting ourselves in front of the community. So like so far, we've just been a bunch of people who come to Huntsville and do our thing, and then we go and just kind of disappear off into the culture, right? Nobody really knows we're here unless you come here, unless you've heard about us. We had we did breakfast for the kids, the teachers back in Christmas, and half of the people were like, I didn't even know y'all had a church here, right? You see, church plants are really good at that, right? We're kind of like a large, small group. We kind of do our thing and then we go our separate way. But God's not called us to do that, right? He's not called us to just build up a Sunday morning service and then go about our life like we don't exist. God is calling us to make an impact now in the community in which we live. And so in order for that to happen, we have to get out there, right? We have to put ourselves in front of people as a legitimate church. And so what that means is I'm going to call us in about 4 weeks to look at and adopt our constitution, our church constitution. And then I'm going to ask you to prayerfully covenant with us as a church. Like, we're making this thing official. You know what I mean? Like, this is right up there with marriage. It's a commitment. It's a saying, I am invested in what God is doing through these Christians, and I want to join with them. That's what I'm going to call us to do in about 4 weeks. And so what does that mean for you? You have to ask yourself if you want to come and join us and commit to do what God's calling us to do here. And so this vision that I'm laying out for us is important, because here's the thing. God may not be calling you here. I hope he does. I hope he calls 50 million more if he chooses. But it may not be for you. And so this vision series is important for you to hear who we are, what we're trying to accomplish, and to ask God, is this where you want me to be? And I believe he does. So if I can turn your attention now to God's word, I have four reasons, very quickly, to answer this question, why? Why do we need a vision for the church? Here's the first one. Vision answers a very simple but a very important question. Where are we going? Where are we going? I mean, have you ever kind of wondered that in church? I mean, have you ever kind of come out of a Sunday morning and, you know, you're thinking about what the preacher said that Sunday, and, you know, you kind of, all right, what does this mean for my life? But at some point you just kind of get to a place where you go, but what does this mean for me? Like, what does it mean for me down the road 5 years? What does it mean for me down the road in 6 months? I mean, a lot of us have this mentality of we just kind of come into church and we just kind of do our own thing. And it works like clockwork, right, week after week. I heard this thing the other day that A.W. Tozer actually said this. He said, a lot of our churches operate in such a way that if the Holy Spirit never showed up again, nothing would change. That's hard to hear. If the Holy Spirit did not show up, everything would still run exactly the same. You see, a lot of us function that way. We get into this mentality of we do what we like and what we think works, and we don't really stop to say, God, what do you want for your church? And so a vision from God helps us understand where we are going. Let me just say this. You guys know how long-winded I am. Could you imagine the train wreck that would happen if I came in here and didn't have a plan? Like if I just said, hey guys, I'm going to talk about Proverbs 7 today. Y'all would be here till next Thursday. You see, a plan not only keeps us on track with where we're going, but it helps us get there in the best way possible without going all over the place. I remember several years ago, a pastor called me and said he was going out of town. And he said, can you come preach for me on Sunday? And I said, sure, I'd be glad to. And so I got there about 30 minutes early. And several years ago, Laura can tell you, when people would ask me to preach for them, I'd get really anxious. Because I take this seriously. I mean, this is God's word. This is, you know, not just my opinion. I take it very seriously. And so I study really hard. And then I said, God, what do you want these people to hear? I mean, I prayed really hard. And so I showed up about 30 minutes before worship started. And I found the head deacon. Because they know everything, right? And so I kind of went up to him and I said, hey, man, you know, what we got going on today? Do you have an order of service? And he was like, well, about that. He said, the music director, she's over trying to figure out what we're going to sing today. I don't know what we're going to sing today. The choir, we'll fill them in just a little bit. I got a couple of announcements, but, I mean, outside of that, I'm not real sure. And I was going, oh. So what does that mean? Like, is it on me to figure it out? You know, and I just remember like being just this big ball of nerves in that service. And the thing that just kept coming to my mind is, where's this church headed? Like, where are they going? When they leave that Sunday afternoon, do they know this is what I'm supposed to do this week? This is what I'm supposed to spend my time doing. What are they trying to accomplish for the kingdom? And now I don't want to be too critical, but I can say this. I didn't know what it was. Now, they may know what their vision was, but here's what I believe. They didn't have a vision. They knew that as a good Christian, you go to church, and that's what they were going to do. And they just kind of played it by ear. They kind of phoned it in. And so the Bible teaches us that that is not how God calls us to operate as his people. 1 Corinthians 14 tells us that God is not a God of disorder, but a God of order. And the way that we keep order in his body is by having a vision. Look at this passage. We're going to break this one down. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. Now, what does that mean? That's a very interesting verse, because if you look at it in certain translations, the word vision is revelation. And where it says cast off restraint, the King James says they perish. Well, in my opinion, casting off restraint and perishing are two different things, right? But not so much. You see, here's what it's saying. Where there is no vision from God, people die. Well, why do they die? It's because there's nothing keeping them going in the right direction. To cast off restraint is this picture of breaking free from something. You guys ever been in a boat? And you take the boat off the trailer, and immediately what do you need to do to that boat if you're not going to go out into the water? You better tie it off, right? Why? Well, you won't have a boat. Because look, if that boat's not connected to something solid, it's going to go wherever it wants to go, right? And so the Bible tells us that if we don't have a vision from God, then we're going to go off which way we think we're going to go. We need to go. And that ultimately leads us to destruction. You see, a vision shows us that God is very involved in his church. God cares about what we do. He cares about what we're trying to accomplish. As a matter of fact, it's his vision. And so without this vision, we have no structure. We have no purpose. And therefore, we're just kind of blowing in the wind like that boat. And what are we supposed to accomplish when we're just blowing in the wind? We can't accomplish much of anything. You see, vision helps us identify where God wants us to go as a church. And so this protects us from wandering aimlessly. You ever been in a church that you just kind of go, what are we doing? It keeps us from wandering aimlessly and not fulfilling the purpose he has for us. Here's the second one. Vision keeps us on God's plan instead of doing what is right in our own eyes. This is a big one. Hey, can I tell you guys something, a truth that's really not popular, that we don't like to hear? We're not good. We're not good. Listen to this, Romans 3. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, and together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Well, that ain't right, right? I do good things. I don't kick puppies and spit on the sidewalk, right? You see, doing moral things, doing noble things, does not make you good. Remember the guy came up and asked Jesus, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What did Jesus say? Why do you call me good? There's only one who's good, and it is God in heaven. You see, we can do moral things, we can do noble things, but listen, in the heart of our hearts, we are wicked. Look at this one, Jeremiah 17:9. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things, and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? I wonder why we don't see verses like this on a t-shirt. I'm going to create one that just says wicked. Jeremiah 17:9. You see, we don't like to admit it, but this is the reality of who we are. And so here's my point to this. When it comes to vision, you and I, in and of ourselves, are completely incapable of devising and directing and walking in any way that is eternally significant and brings glory to God. If you and I come up with the vision of our church, it's going to be incredibly selfish, incredibly comfortable, and it's going to be ugly. Because here's what I know. Without the unifying factor of the gospel of Jesus, We can't even agree on a vision amongst ourselves. My wife and I can't even agree on where to eat supper on Friday night. So why in the world would us be able to agree on a vision that comes from us? And the reason for that is because we're selfish and we have wicked hearts and we want what we want. And so we need a vision from God, because that vision keeps us on His path for His church instead of it leaving it up to ourselves. Let me give you a couple of examples of how this did not go well for the people in the Bible. The first one, who remembers the Tower of Babel? What happened in the Tower of Babel? A bunch of people got together and said, let's do something. That's a vision. Let's do something. What do you want to do? Well, let's build a tower. Okay. Well, why do you want to do that? So we can reach up to the heavens and be our own gods. Did you get that? Their vision was to be God. And so what did God do? He confused them, tore the tower down, and it didn't happen. How about this one? Genesis chapter 6. Everybody but Noah. Let's put it to you this way. What was their vision? This is what it was. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in all the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Man, that's a lot of words in there that describe the wickedness of those people. Every intention of their thoughts, so not only what they thought, but the reason they thought it, was evil. And only evil, how often? Continually. And so God said, what? I'm going to destroy the earth. Their vision was to do whatever they wanted, to be wicked. They liked it. And so that was their plan. How about this one? The nation of Israel. The nation of Israel is a great picture of what happens when we go off on our own. God called Moses, said, I'm going to send you to rescue my people out of Egypt, right? And here's what we're going to do. We're going to cross the Red Sea and we're going to go into the Promised Land. Who can tell me how many days it should have taken to get from the Red Sea to the Promised Land? Anybody remember? 7 days. 7 days journey to get from the Red Sea to the Promised Land. How many years did it take them? 40 years. Why? They crossed the Red Sea. God said, stay right here at Mount Sinai. Camp here. I'm going to talk to Moses for a little while. I'm going to give him some stuff. Then you'll be on your way. All you need to do is stay here. Keep your eyes on me. Wait for Moses to come back. Moses comes back, and what had they done? They built a golden calf and wanted to go back to Egypt. Here's my point. What happens when we leave things up to us in our own wisdom? When we do things that are right in our own eyes, what happens? Destruction. You see, you and I can't fulfill God's purpose and vision without God. It doesn't work that way. And listen, a lot of us have been Christians a long time, and we think we got it figured out. Can I tell you something? The wisest Christian in the world will tell you, I know less today about God than I thought I did when I first got saved. I need Him more today than I did the first day that I realized I needed Him. We can't do this apart from Him. Look at this. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to what? Death. Can I tell you what will kill a church faster than anything? Our own opinion. Our own direction. When we leave God and say we can figure it out, we know what's best for our church, we better start buying a coffin. Pioneer Church, listen to me. We must never forget who owns us. We must never forget the high price that was paid for us to be called His church. Jesus bled and died for us to get to do what we're doing here. And so it's important to Him. God forbid we forsake that to go try to do our own thing. And so if He bought us, He's the one who leads us. It's His church, and therefore it's imperative that we grasp His vision and not our own. So let me kind of run through this. First, vision keeps us from wandering. But it also keeps us from bad vision, right? From doing our own thing. Let me give you a third one here. And this one's going to sound kind of funny. You're going to go, duh, but look at this. Vision's biblical. Now, here's what I mean by that. It's not that there's just places in the Bible that say the word vision. What I mean by that is the Bible is overwhelmingly full of evidence that the way God interacts with his people is through his vision. What I mean by that is he comes to a person and he says, here's what I want you to do. That's vision, right? Here's the thing that I want you to do. The Bible is filled with a declaration of God declaring his vision, or God declaring over and over, here's what I want you to do. So here, what's the job of the people that he declares that vision to? Do it, right? Do it. Let me show you some examples of that. Genesis chapter 12. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I what? Will show you. Okay? Vision is future focused, right? So go to a land that I will show you, and here's what I'm going to do. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In that one moment, God declared a vision, not just for Abraham, but for the whole creation. Here's the cool thing about this vision. We're still living it today. How many of you are saved? If you're a Christian, you're a part of this promise. You're a part of this vision. Here's how I know. That by you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Romans 9 through 11 shares with us how we become a part of this vision when we say yes to Jesus. And so this vision is still being lived out today by us. And we can thank Abraham for being obedient to the vision. Now, we know the story of Abraham. He didn't get it right all the time, did he? He tried to take matters into his own hands, and he had a baby with his servant. And that created a whole nother issue, right, that we're still dealing with today. But God's way works. And God's vision continues to produce fruit for generations to come. When you look at the books of the prophets, right? Jeremiah was a prophet that was called to declare the vision of mourning and judgment over God's people. He was known as the weeping prophet. And so he carried out the vision of showing the Israelites their sin. Isaiah, he was called as a prophet to declare the vision of God's restoration, of God's redemption of his people through Jesus, right? God says, I have a vision of here's what's going to happen. My servant is going to come. And so Isaiah was responsible for declaring that vision. There's a small prophet in a little book in the Bible called Habakkuk. Anybody ever read it? You should. It's a good book. But Habakkuk chapter 2, listen to what he says. Write the vision. So what is God saying? I have something to tell my people. And what's it called? A vision. And what do I want you to do, Habakkuk? Write it down. Write the vision. Make it plain on tablets so that he may run who reads it. What that means is the person who reads it, they go, I want to be a part of that. And that they know what to do, and then they go do it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. So what that means for us is that God already knows what he wants us to do. We just have to get on board with it and do it. So what does it mean for a church? We have the Word of God now, right? We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And so is there a specific, unique vision that God wants to give Pioneer Church that hasn't already been thought of? And here's the answer. Yes. The mission's the same. The vision is unique to the church. Let me give you an example of how this is going to happen. Acts 1:8. Jesus is about to go back to heaven. And he says, the disciples say, so what do you want me to do? What are we supposed to do? Are you going to restore Israel now? And he says, no, I'm going back to my Father. But here's what you're going to do. You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. You're going to be my witnesses. So I'm not taking you to be with me. You're going to stay here and continue this work that I started. And then you're going to die and you're going to go be with me. And the disciples that you made are going to continue the work that I started. And then they're going to die and continue and go to be with me. And then those disciples. And so here we are in 2020, disciples of disciples of disciples of disciples who were called to continue to be his witnesses. So Jesus gives us that vision. And look how, at what he says. He says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. That's your next door neighbors, right? In all Judea, which is your town, your community. To Samaria, that's your county, maybe your state. And then what? To the end of the earth. So here's what Jesus does. He's the ultimate visionary. Because right there, he gives the vision, the mission, and the strategy for how he wants his gospel to go out. But it was specific to the time and the people that he was speaking to. If he were to kind of come down right now today, the vision that he would give us would have the same mission, but it would look completely different. And so what does he want us to do? And that's what we're going to get at in the next couple of weeks. But here's what I want you to understand about our vision. It's forward facing. It's unique. It's specific. But it is a call to action. We've got to do something with it, right? He says, you'll be my witnesses. Now, if Peter and John and James walked back up to the upper room and never opened their mouth to spread the gospel, would the vision have come to fruition? Maybe, but not through them, right? You got to do something with it. You've got to own it. And so the Bible is filled with God bringing his vision and his purposes to his people. He invites us into that work. We've just got to say yes and do it, okay? And let me give you one more final point. And this is one that I kind of debated on because it could go into number two about us not staying, getting off God's path. But I believe it's important enough for us to specifically mention it because I think a lot of churches who lose sight of the vision do so because of this one issue. And so here's what it is. Vision protects us from wasting or misusing the resources God has given us to steward. Vision protects us from wasting or misusing the resources God has given us to steward. So what does that mean? Psalm 24 says this. The earth is the Lord's and what? Everything in it. Now what does that mean? Everything. Come on now. What's the definition of everything? Everything. So if God owns it all, then he's the owner of it and he can do whatever he wants to with it, right? Well, he didn't pay for my car. He didn't pay for my house. No, he just gave you the breath to breathe to go to work to get that. That's all, right? It's his. He owns it. And so what that means is if he is the owner of it, then he puts us or entrusts us with the things that he gives us to manage them or to steward them. You ever heard that word? Stewardship? Now, most of us look at stewardship as, you know, giving some money in the offering plate every week, and that's certainly a part of it. A lot of churches look at stewardship as how much money we can hold on to, right? How much money we can amass and sit on. Can I tell you something? That's not stewardship. Stewardship is how you spend the money of God wisely, not just how you save the money of God wisely. If you want an example of that, I would encourage you to read Matthew chapter 25, where is the parable of the talents. And I don't know if you remember that story, but he gave some talents to one guy and he immediately went and put it to use and made more money. The second guy did the same thing. What did the third guy do? Remember? He buried it. He buried it. You know why? To ensure that he would always have what his master had given him. And can you imagine he walks up to the master and says, here's your talent. And the master says, well, where's the rest of it? Well, I know you're a hard man, and I know that you get what you don't, you reap what you don't sow, and I was just afraid, and so I'm going to keep it. I kept it safe for you. And instead of the master going, thank you for sitting on my money, he says, you could have at least put it in the bank where it would have earned interest. You know what the outcome of that man was? He was cast into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Can I tell you something that sounds very controversial, but it's true in church? God don't care how well we can save money. There are a lot of dead churches in America sitting on millions of dollars. In million-dollar facilities. And they're not doing anything with it. Several years ago, I was in a church, and I was on staff at a church, and we had this endowment, this person had left us this money. And they had put a lot of stipulations on that money. It could only be used a certain way for certain things. And as a matter of fact, we could only use the interest off of it. And all that. I mean, it was just crazy. I'll never forget, I was sitting in a deacon's meeting. This is probably why I'm not still there. I don't know. But I was sitting in a deacon's meeting, and they were going back and forth about what they're going to do about it and how we're going to manage it and what we're going to do with it. And I just raised my hand. I said, let's give it back. Why don't we give it back to the family that gave it to us? And man, they thought I had three heads. We're getting ready to give them hundreds of thousands of dollars. It was like $100,000 at the time. We can't do that. What are we going to do with it? We can't use it for the kingdom. All we can do is sit on it and watch it grow and then spend a little bit for it to go to this one little thing. Why don't we give it back? Because listen to me, I would rather stand before God and have done that than to go with him with my purses full of money that he entrusted me with that I didn't do nothing but sit on. There was a church in Charlotte several years ago that actually had a court case that went up. I think it was state Supreme Court. Same deal. Lady left them $1 million. $1 million for their church. But the only thing they could use that money for was the rose garden at the church. God's creation is beautiful. But I've never seen a rose bring somebody into the kingdom. You see, God gives us resources. And he owns it all. Everything we need to fulfill the vision of Pioneer Church, we will get. Every dime. But if we fail to use it the way that he's called us to use it, the Bible says even what you have will be taken away. And so vision keeps us on track of how God would have us appropriate and steward those things. But it's up to us. One, to be obedient, not only in our giving to God, but in how we manage the things that he's given to us. Do you guys know, and I'll just mention this and move on, the Southern Baptist Convention of North Carolina has now created a division, a department, for churches who have an incredible amount of assets, but they can't keep their doors open. And so there are people who are now hired by the Southern Baptist Convention to help them liquidate their assets and give them to other churches. Why is that? It's not because they don't have enough money. It's because they don't have God's vision. Church, I don't want to be that. I'd rather pray, God, please provide next week. I don't know how you're going to do it. But if you don't do it, we're not going to be able to do it. But if you do give it to us, here's what we know we can do with it for your kingdom. And then him show up and do it in the 11th hour. Then for us to go, well, I don't know if we should spend this or not. Is it really worth it? We got it, but I don't know if it's worth it. Can we not be those people? I pray we won't be that church. So vision helps protect us from that. Now, not only resources isn't just referring to money. It's referring to time. It's referring to people. God entrusts us with 24 hours a day. He entrusts us with a specific amount of time as a church to do the things that he's called us to do. And here's what I found. A lot of us can spend our time on good causes that are not the best things that God's called us to do. There are a lot of churches out there who take a shotgun approach to ministry, right? They try to do everything mediocre. You know what I mean? They have their hand in a lot of different things and they're not doing anything really well. It's the difference between a laser and a flashlight. Which one cuts steel? A laser. Which one is light? Both of them. Both of them. But it's how focused that light is. You see, a vision focuses a church on what's best for that church. Listen, we can do a lot of good things, but are we doing the best things? Vision helps us identify that. So here's what I want to do as we close this morning. I know this hasn't been a super spiritual message for you. I get that. But I believe it's very practical in understanding what we're trying to accomplish here as this church and why it's so important that we have a clear direction from God. It's so that we won't go off on our own and try to do things how we think it ought to be done. It's so that we won't get away from the one who gives the vision in the first place, but we stay connected to him. But here's, I got a little individual challenge for you as we leave today. You may understand, hopefully we've described this morning why it's necessary for a church to have a vision, but you still don't see why it matters to you. There are a lot of people who go to a lot of churches who have healthy vision who never catch on to it. And as I mentioned this morning earlier, we're a body, and you're a vital part of that body. But if you don't understand your role in it, you'll be left behind. And you know what happens when people get left behind? What happens when a sheep gets separated from the flock? They get eaten. That's not what we desire for anybody. And so this morning, you have to ask this question. Is it important for me individually to understand and to own the vision that God has for this church? I fully understand that we may get to the end of this series and you go, this is not the place that I need to worship. I get that. You know why? Because I want you to be where you are supposed to be. I want you to be where God is going to use you for his kingdom. I think it can be here. I believe it is. But I want you to listen to Jesus. So I'm going to ask you each week to gather with your family. As we go through these messages, take the handout that I'm going to give you each week and pray. God, is this where you'd have me to be? Do you want me to get on board with this? You see, we're trying to cultivate a kingdom mentality at Pioneer Church, not a team mentality. We don't play on a specific team and the church down the road play on another team. We're playing for the kingdom. And so wherever you can be as God's person to fulfill his purpose for your life, we want to help you find it. So the question this morning is, do I personally see the necessity of being involved in a church that has a specific vision for his kingdom? And here's what I know. If you'll seek God and you'll pray, he'll answer that. He'll tell you. And if he is calling you here, can I tell you something? We're going to have a good time. There's a lot of awesome things that God has planned for us that I'm going to be sharing with you in the next few weeks that will not only challenge us and stretch us as individual Christians, but will really, truly make an eternal difference in the lives of people. And I tell you, that excites me. Maybe you've been at church for a long time and you have not felt joy and purpose in your years of being there. I can promise you this, we will set ourselves up as a church to experience those things on a regular basis. Is it going to be scary sometimes? Yeah. Is God going to call us to do some things that we don't know how we're going to do it? Absolutely. Absolutely. But he was also doing that when there were 20 people in my living room. And God's faithful. And he will accomplish his purpose for us if we'll be willing to be used by him. So man, let's jump on it. Let's do it together and let's watch what God can do. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth in it. God, I know this morning has just been very, very academic, Lord. And God, I believe it's important for us to truly assess our role in your kingdom work. And so my prayer this morning is that everyone who's heard this message would just truly pause and ask you this very serious question. God, where would you have me do the work of your kingdom? Lord, I pray with all my heart, it's here at Pioneer Church. And Lord, it's with other believers who are enthusiastic and joyful and just so ready to see you do what only you can do. Lord, we're just trusting you right now to lead us, to show us where you would have us to be, what you would have us to do. And God, we just pray that you'd bring the people to us, God, that you want to join in this work with us. And God, that you will equip us to go out and make a kingdom difference in the lives of the people in this community and around this world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and worship this morning before we're dismissed.